I realize what I said 2 days ago. No, that would have been Thursday, right? Yeah. Because I went back and listened to it. I like to listen to myself because I make sense. And I like to hear myself make sense. Yes, I mentioned, hello everyone, I said corporate discipline instead of corporal discipline. I listened to that and I go, what? How come I said corporate discipline? Because I know it's corporal discipline. I was talking about fathers and parents disciplining their children for their own good. And I made a faux pas there, but I realized, you know, what would be the difference? Corporate discipline is if your dad tells you, I'm going to have the president of IBM come in here and have a word with you. You know, that's corporate discipline. Or you better be careful, or the CEO of Kraft Foods is going to be coming over to give you an earful of what for. That would be corporate discipline. That would be very scary. Or I suppose if you disciplined all your kids at the same time, that would be corporate discipline. Anyway, this is Martin Zender. We're starting another week on the Revelation series. This is a week we jump into chapter 19. In fact, that's probably going to happen tomorrow. And I plan on making quick work of it. But you know how my best laid plans go in that department. I'd like to thank alert listener and alert viewer Brenda O'Neill. Hi, Brenda. She gave me a link to an amazing article, and this will dovetail perfectly with what I was telling you on Friday, like how Monday, I mean, because this is Tuesday. I'm so confused because of the holiday. Yeah, I'm not starting another week. I already started another week yesterday. All right. She sent me an article that dovetails perfectly with what I was telling you yesterday, Monday, about how much more end times do you want? I don't know how much end timier it's going to get than what we have here. Listen to this. This is from holypages.com. It's a Christian website, even though it says Holy Pages on the top of the page here, but on their URL it says Holy Pages, HOLLYPAGES.com. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Here's the title of the article. I want to give power back to the church, Donald Trump. This was posted on November the 15th, 2016. This is exciting to me. Listen to this, because Trump's going to do the opposite of what the Obama administration did. The Obama administration would punish Christian organizations by sicking the IRS after them and making it difficult for them to gain nonprofit status. And so it was a definite persecution of right-wingers, so-called, but really it was people of faith, I believe. Now, you know, I'm all for shutting these people up. I don't want these people of faith teaching about the false god of Christianity. But in the interest of free speech, we have to let this stuff go on. We have to give equal opportunity to all, unless you're at my conference. If you're at my conference, then if you want to teach about eternal torment, you're not going to get on the podium. I'm a dictator and a sovereign, sovereign of state at my conferences. I don't let anybody, just anybody, talk, because I set the rules at my conference. But in a democracy with a constitution that details the freedom of speech, we have to let these things go. But this is why I'm interested in this article and this happening, because as I've said, the end time scenario is that the West is going to conquer the East. The West as a religious, a political slash religious power, is going to crush the Eastern religious and political power. So that's the end time scenario of your dreams. And I want this, because the faster this happens, the faster we get the heck out of here. So now it appears that the president-elect is going to do the opposite of the previous administration, in that he's going to make it easy and free for Christians to put forth their teaching. Now, this appalls me on one side, because I know it's false teaching, but on the other side, these people are going to start taking more and more of a hand in politics, because that's how they think they're going to get their ideas across, i.e. Ted Cruz and the Dominion philosophy. And the Dominion philosophy is that We will make the United States a Christian nation by introducing the Ten Commandments. And we will see how God would set up a nation if he wanted to. Well, as if they haven't seen this experiment, quote unquote, was already done. God did set up a nation. It was Israel. He did that not to bring that nation in at that time, but to prove to all humanity through this guinea pig nation that human beings cannot follow a law of God because they are simply incapable because of the flesh. That was the hidden motive behind forming the nation Israel. That was God's hidden agenda. He didn't really want Israel to do it. He had to demonstrate to humanity that even when given every opportunity, and what a golden opportunity, God himself lives with you and gives you his own rules of what to do, gives you the setup. Here's what you have to do. Just do these things, and it'll be all good with you. And he sits back to see what's going to happen. Ho, ho. No, he doesn't. He knows what's going to happen. But anyway, they're going to be playing this game again because Christians don't learn from history. Oh, now it's just, now we're a new people. See, the Jews weren't smart enough to do it. We're smarter. So it's nothing, they think there's nothing wrong with the ideology that God has already given us these commandments, so all we have to do is do them. They're thinking as well, it's just that those people couldn't do it good. Jews are dumb. They couldn't get it done. But we're Christians. We have the enlightenment of the New Testament scriptures on top of the Old Testament scriptures, which the ancient Jews didn't have. Therefore, we now will be able to accomplish this kingdom that God dreamed of back in the old days, but that he couldn't accomplish because Israel was so stubborn. We, however, are enlightened. You're really not. You don't realize that you're just as stubborn as Israel. Maybe even more so. We're the enlightened ones, therefore we will be able to accomplish what Israel failed to do. It's also known as replacement theology. God's going to get what he wants, not through the stupid nation of Israel, but through the brilliant organization of Christianity. False. That's not going to happen. They're actually doubly deceived, because now they're deceived with the name of Christ. At least Israel didn't have the name of Christ. Back in the old days, anyway, of Abraham. And they had Abraham, Moses. Those were heavy hitters, but we know they rejected their Messiah. Well, that's okay. Christianity has also rejected the true Jesus, and they embraced the pop icon Jesus, otherwise known as the fake Jesus. Here's the article. In an exclusive interview with The Brody File, Donald Trump wants to see Christian pastors speak more boldly from the pulpit. Because as he sees it, quote, the church has to have more power, unquote. This is phenomenal. This is fantastic. The church has to have more power. Donald Trump wants that. Why he wants it, I'm not sure. It might be unconscious. He might just be trying to overcome or make up for the Obama administration, which actually gave Christians a disadvantage. Back to the article, he's referring to the passage of the Johnson Amendment in which the U.S. tax code was altered so that tax-exempt organizations, like churches in many instances, would not be allowed to endorse or oppose political candidates. Yes, that's one of the main things with the 501c3, and people have asked me, Martin, why aren't you a 501c3? It would be easier for me to contribute to you because that way I could take that off my taxes. It would be a charitable contribution. I could take it off my taxes. Sure. I mean, I'd love to make things easier for you. Even though the motive there was, yeah, I mean, it's like I was going to give you money anyway, but I might not give you money unless I get an advantage over it. I'm not saying everybody thought that way, but perhaps that thought was in there. But yes, another aspect of the 501c3 is it's government approved, and I fear anything that's government approved. So I didn't want to get involved. And plus, there are certain things that an organization that's a 501c cannot say. For instance, as I read here, they cannot promote a political candidate or either oppose or endorse. So Trump's going to remove that, apparently. Maybe make an amendment to the Johnson Amendment or get rid of it completely. I didn't even realize it had a name. But the tax code was altered. That's what the Johnson Amendment is. So that tax-exempt organizations like churches aren't the only tax-exempt organizations. And so churches use this to, see, I'm not a tax-exempt organization, but churches use this to, of course, get wealthy. They take advantage of it. Trump says the federal government should never have done that. Quote, they've taken a lot of power away from the church. I want to give power back to the church. Christianity is really being chopped. Little by little, it's being taken away. End quote. Trump continues, I want pastors and ministers to be able to get up and speak on behalf of Christianity, and they're afraid to do it right now because they don't want to lose their tax-exempt status. We will take care of that. Unquote. Ooh, 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 this is meaty. I see some problem here. I don't think it's the fact that they're afraid to speak up on behalf of Christianity. What's stopping them from doing that? That's their job. They're supposed to be talking about Christ and the accomplishments of Christ, in which case the government couldn't care less. The government doesn't care what I'm teaching because I'm totally non-threatening to the government, just like Jesus was to the Roman powers. He wasn't threatening them. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. We're not interested in usurping your power. My followers want me to do that, but I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to do that. You do your thing, Rome. You do your thing, Caesar. You do your thing, Pilate, and I'll do my thing, and my thing is from another world. Caesar says, as long as you don't mess up my world. No, I'm not going to mess up your world. My followers want me to. Go after them. They're the ones that want me to be a rabble-rouser, a political savior. Well, I'm not. I'm a personal one, and I'm dealing in righteousness here, not politics. Although, in a future day, righteousness and politics will go hand in hand because the righteousness will be the politics. Right now, we don't have the wisdom or the ability to do that. Humans don't. But they're trying to make it happen. And so Trump is pushing for this. I'm trying to figure out why he would push for it. He probably sees the evangelicals as a huge voting bloc. That's true. And, oh, this is interesting. I just thought of this. We know that the man of lawlessness is going to grease the skids for Israel to build and grow and build a temple and for Babylon to be built. So there's going to be a very good environment for growth of this sort of thing. So this making it easier for Christians to maintain 501c3 status and still be able to be political. Oh boy, that's just putting us on the fast track to the secret one world government and New World Order, the new World Order, which would have a Western power to take dominance, probably led by the U.S., but also that would be a religious force, and it would demand worship, because we know from our past studies that the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will demand worship as well as fealty, as well as obedience to his civil declarations. Let's finish this article here. In the waning moments of today's show, the Brody File has interviewed Trump numerous times, and this is the first time he's ever mentioned the Johnson Amendment as it relates to pastors speaking out from the pulpit. And again, the concern is not that pastors won't be able to speak out on theological topics, because what's stopping them from doing that? But see, theology and politics are so closely united today in the apostate Christian church. They think they have to be social justice warriors, and they think they have to bring food and plenty to the starving masses. I'm not against acts of generosity, giving food to the poor, and yes, giving them food, clothing, and shelter. Absolutely. But the Christian church makes this their primary goal. It's a social gospel first, not a gospel of truth. They don't care about the truth. It's obvious by their doctrines. So this article was written before, apparently, the election. Trump leads with evangelicals in South Carolina. His no-nonsense, strong approach is attractive to some evangelicals. Well, of course it is. No nonsense, strong approach. They like the strong approach because dominionists like Ted Cruz and his ilk want to take over the world with Christian principles. They're going to be the nice Christians, and they're going to do it better than those dumb Jews. That's them. That's the way they're thinking of it. That's not me. Of course, they'll bring along Israel with them just kind of as a token you know, yeah, Israel, you couldn't get it done. We can get it done, or we will get it done. We'll take you along as our sidekick. You'll be Robin, we'll be Batman, and then we can say that we have God's people with us, even though we know we're God's people. These are the Western evangelicals talking, thinking that God has used them to replace Israel, which he has not done. The article ends this way. His brand is accomplishment. Oh, Donald Trump's brand. Yeah, that's what he does. Donald's brand is accomplishment. And so when he says he's going to, quote, take care of the evangelicals, unquote, and start winning again for Christianity, many people believe him at face value, and they should. It's a great Trump card to have in your political hip pocket. End of article. That is so true. And yes, when Trump says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. That's why people are afraid of him. They think, oh, he's another Hitler, because they actually have a feeling that he's actually going to get stuff done because he's going to circumvent the stupid bureaucracy. And it's probably what's going to happen. And you can take him at face value, I believe. And so when he says he's going to take care of evangelicals and start winning, you know, he's all about winning. If I win, we're all going to win. Then I think that's what's going to happen. It's exciting times to be alive. But we're not jumping into this excitement. You know, I'm tempted to. Everybody wants to be with the winning team. You know, when the New England Patriots were winning everything, everybody wants to be a Patriot. Back in my day, the Steelers were winning. Everybody wanted to be a Steeler. Forget about it. I'd rather be an underdog. And we're the underdogs, all right. And we're practically underground. The world doesn't know about us. But here we are, talking amongst ourselves and to a few hundred people on the internet who get it. We're the next big thing. This is going to look like the big thing, and it's going to become a big thing. But even now, the chiefs of this eon are being discarded. And we will rise to our true stature and our true place in Christ.